Very excited to have return guest Sapna Devi, also known as the World Homeopath, back on. I really wanted to do this episode together because we've got an exciting collaboration coming out soon, and I've really enjoyed working with Sapna, and I thought, you know what, let's do a podcast together where we answer some of your questions and just reflect on our similar views or differences as well, just so you can get two for the price of one homeopaths. So Sapna, would you mind introducing yourself to everyone that hasn't listened to the episode you were on very early on? So do go back and listen to that if you haven't.
Hello, I'm Sapna, the World Homeopath, and I primarily work with hormones and fertility and birth and babes, because those are the things I love most in life. But, you know, homeopathy, because we don't treat conditions, we treat a person. So it doesn't really matter what you specialise in. My specialism is because I love working with those kind of conditions. But I think Lisa and I are going to talk a little bit later about why it doesn't matter what condition you come in with.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the amount of DMs that I get going, can you recommend a remedy for X or Y or Z? And I feel like a bit of a stuck record sometimes. So, and I'm not trying to not be helpful either, but I'm like, oh my God, right, let's get this out there. And I can refer people back to this episode as well, which would be great. So should we kick
bonus.
Yeah. Do we get straight off with some of the questions that people messaged in with?
Yep, let's do that.
Okay, no particular order. One of the first questions I had in was, right, I've had twitching since whooping cough. What would you recommend or advise? So I've got my thoughts on that. Do you want to go first, Sapna? And then I'll
So I guess we've just gone straight into it, haven't we? So this is exactly the kind of question that we all get very, very often about recommending remedies, like you said, for particular conditions. But with homeopathy, you don't treat a condition, you treat a person. We live in a society and we've been conditioned to think of our health in a very fractured way. So, you know, if you engage with the modern medical system, you have got a heart specialist and a lung specialist and a liver specialist. But actually, all of those things are connected, and energetically, they are all being driven by the same kind of centralized energy system. So once you've got an issue in your liver or in your heart, actually it's not localized to that particular organ. It is part of your whole being. And we find this very often in homeopathy, because if you unravel a case when you're working with someone, actually it's not even about the heart. It's about what's going on, like emotionally for someone or mentally for someone, or a pattern that they've inherited from, you know, their ancestral lineage. So, you know, if you've had something happen since something, and this is very interesting, because one of the things that we look for in homeopathy is, when did it all start? Mm-hmm. What happened to make this start? What was the preceding event that led to, you know, this cascade of events, and you find yourself in this state of health now? And I don't think that there are other modalities necessarily. Well, the modern medical system doesn't really recognize that, oh, this particular event has had an impact on a year down the line or 2 or 3 years down the line, you know, especially if we're talking about COVID and that entire scenario that happened around there.
Absolutely. And that is, yeah, I completely agree with that on so many levels. And actually, I'll just share a personal experience that I've had recently. So, and because it can apply to acute illnesses as well as chronic illnesses. And a lot of our remedies have an affinity to and never been well since a particular event. So a few weeks ago, I had a really traumatic, like laughing, it's not funny at all, like a near-death experience where I choked. And it absolutely terrified me. Like, it was awful. I literally thought I was going to die, and I was really shaken up by it. Like, I'm actually getting like shaky now talking about it. But then a day or two later, I had a really bad UTI. Now, we know kidneys in traditional Chinese medicine hold fear, and so it was obviously my body expressing what had happened on a physical level. But I had, you know, I thought, oh, UTI, easy to fix with homeopathy. You know, I'll just take the usuals, Cantharis or Apis or E. coli I took, Staphysagria, nothing was working. And I was like, my God, nothing's working. You know, my trusty remedies, which work always for UTIs, I was rotating through them and it would go a little bit. And I was so ill, like in bed for nearly a week. And I was at the point where I was like, I can't take this anymore. Like, this is just awful. So I booked in with my homeopath. And I don't know why I didn't do that just at the start. He said, why didn't you do this at the start? But, and he took my case and he was like, you need Ignatia. Now, Ignatia is a grief remedy and is an ailment after like a shock or a fright as well. Now, in that moment when I choked, I thought I was going to die and it obviously disrupted my vital force. Now, I don't think Ignatia is associated at all with UTIs, if you were to look it up. It's not a, you know, a remedy we would ordinarily think of, but that shock was so profound for me that it had put me into Ignatia state. And actually, it was quite obvious. You know, I was wailing to my husband, I can't cope. Like, you know, I'm all that Ignatia hysterical. As soon as I had Ignatia, it just went. And it's incredible. Like, that's the thing with when we're looking at remedies, or the person, we always want to see what it was that went on around that time that that sickness started. And obviously, if it's been years later, then it's going to be, you know, more detective work to help do that and peeling back layers. But I just think that illustrates, and I see it all the time. I don't know if you see with my friend the other day, brought her little boy around and he had a really bad cold and he's so pulsatile. He's blonde. He's always clingy to his mummy. Like, he's adorable. And he had a really bad gunky, sticky cold. And I said, oh, have you given him any pulsatile? Like, she went, no. And I said, when did the cold start? And she said, oh, he was out playing in the rain. And his wellies had a hole in and his feet got wet. And pulsatile is ailments from feet getting wet. So, yeah, it's just, it's there, isn't it, all the time. Clear for us to see, I think, with this never been well since certain things.
Totally, totally. I had like a really weird thing happen. And this was in the early days when I was still at college, actually. And I used to take my kids to a forest school. And there used to be this kid there called Sebastian. And he was probably 2. He couldn't really speak. He must have been younger, actually, because he couldn't speak properly. But he was really young, tagged along with his sister. And he was the happiest kid. And I always used to say to his mum, he's amazing. Look at him. He's just like going for it in forest school. He's not scared. And one day, she comes in with him and he's got the green gunk and he's got, you know, he's crying and clingy. And I just thought, God, that's not Sebastian at all. And I learned about 2 remedies and one of them was pulsatilla. And I thought, he looks like pulsatilla. And no word of a lie, I put my hand in my pocket, I pull out a remedy bottle and it was pulsatilla. And I thought, I've got to suggest it. So I just said to her, oh, you know, do you want to try some of this? You know, I'm studying to be a homeopath. Explain the whole, it's non-toxic, it's energy medicine. She was like, yeah, I'll try anything. You know, this is not my child. 1 dose of 30C, 10 minutes later, his gunk is gone and he is back to his happy self.
Oh.
I could not believe it. It was amazing.
I love that. And how often does that happen when you're looking up a remedy and I open up my Materia Medica and it's just open, the page just opens up on that remedy. It's like, it's amazing. But do you know, I love that story. Sometimes I'm like, oh, look at this strange old lady with these white sweeties in her bag. Come on, this will make you feel better. So you have to be careful.
I wouldn't dish him out in the street like some.
No, I don't.
But yeah, but the way that the universe came together was just like, why did I have pulsatilla in my pocket? But I think that this is like something that's really important to touch on, the energetic kind of foundation and nature of that medicine, because energy just isn't like, you know, something that's out there. It's not something you kind of plug in or whatever. It is, it's there, it's around us, we're made of it. And those little sugar balls or lactose tablets or powders or whatever, they're just a carrier for like energy. And then all it's doing is just kind of giving you that nudge and saying, you know how to do this. You've got this. Remember that you can get over this.
Yeah.
And that's all the remedies are doing. So I think when you have those moments where you open the book or you look at a random on the street and you're like, oh, I know what you need. And then suddenly, you know, the universe gives it to you. I think it's really important to kind of understand that it is all part of the same thing. Like our vital force and our energy, we kind of almost not almost, we actually do view it as being localized within us, but we're actually like connected to everybody else. Our energy doesn't stop here. There isn't a boundary, you know?
Totally. Totally. And actually, go and check out Eileen McCusick's work on the human biofield and using tuning forks and seeing, you know, how far our energy comes out and at certain points where you can see whether you've got ancestral issues. Yeah, definitely go. I did a podcast with her and yeah, it's fascinating. So it's on moving on to a question that's similar, actually on a similar vein, but it's another person that said about since a particular event, they're talking about this time, COVID, that someone's developed chronic OCD hand washing. And I think the same principles apply to anything that we've spoken about. But one thing I find interesting for this particular example, I'm interested to hear your perspective, is I feel like COVID, there was such huge energy. And I talk about this on my miasms course. It's like whether or not you were fearful of catching something, or you were fearful of your freedom being taken away, that had such a huge energy on society. So COVID will have left, I think, an energetic imprint for future generations that if we don't work through it, like if we can deal with it and process what went on, then it won't necessarily stay trapped. But as a society, I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more of these type of issues, because my perspective is back then we all went into society went into an arsenicum state, which was one of the number one remedies for COVID symptoms. Yeah. And it has that chronic hand washing and OCD and fear of germs and fastidiousness. So I just feel like that we're going to be seeing more of it, sadly. And I think we're going to be finding that remedies like arsenicum are going to be key in helping people move through that. Now, I'm not saying arsenicum is the remedy here, because like we've said, you would always need to take someone's case and there could be lots of remedies. But I just think that whole energetic time was very indicative for me of arsenicum. But yeah, what's your view on that, Satna?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. It was very indicative of, you know, that particular remedy. But very interestingly, because arsenicum is a very syphilitic remedy, and, you know, that kind of destruction. So that, you know, if you do Lisa's miasms course, you will know more about this. But when we're talking about miasms, we're talking about things that are very much present in society. It's kind of an inherited pattern. And the syphilitic miasm is very much about destruction. And this is what people say when they think about that. But for me, and this is where we have might have different perspectives, when you have anything that is destroyed, there is always hope for new growth. And if we kind of listen to a lot of people who understand planetary alignments, who understand what's going on a, you know, higher level of recursion, we are moving into this kind of era where we're almost going to have new growth and new things coming up. So if we're talking about, you know, the whole COVID situation and arsenicum being a reflection of that as a remedy, and then the syphilitic miasm being a reflection of that as a societal kind of feeling, for me, that's really hopeful, because, you know, we're going through this period of like almost mass destruction, and that's of values, of cultures, of everything that we knew was true, of health systems. Like things are beginning to kind of crack and crumble. What that means is we're going to have like a real phoenix moment where there's a rebirth. And I think that a lot of people are experiencing this on a personal level, where they've, you know, completely changed their perceptions and their views and values with regards to how they live in society. And we're going to talk about kind of, you know, this, what I see as quite a significant move towards off-grid living, for example, and being self-empowered. So, you know, although we see that and we can see those problems, the beauty of a modality like homeopathy is that we've got the tools to be able to help people through, help ourselves through, you know, and process, and then get to that point where we're having our phoenix rebirth.
Oh, I had like chills then, and you've just summed that up, beautifully. And I think it has been, I mean, you never get that kind of, well, you do sometimes, but normally there's always has to be the old being removed, which can be painful before the new stuff comes. And on a personal level, you know, I've left my horrible corporate world behind. My kids aren't in the mainstream system. You know, there's still lots more changes to make, and we're in that transition. But it's been great in many ways, COVID, you know, although it didn't feel like it at the time. And I love what you said about us moving towards off-grid living. And I wanted to talk about this more at the end, but let's bring it up now, because we have got a new course that we've done together, which I am so excited about, coming out. You can only get it as part of a bundle for 10 days, and it launches on this Friday. So if you're listening to this back, it will be Friday the 15th. Yeah. And we've done a course where it's for anyone, whether or not you're living off grid, but we talk through three scenarios of remedies, where one is, you know, what are the most useful remedies for emergency situations or first aid situations, like where you might have a homeopathy kit. Part two is like, what happens if, you know, you want to make your own remedies. If you can get to a homeopathic pharmacy, maybe you can get some medicating potencies. And I talk you through that. But the most exciting final part, Sapna, is your bit. Do you want to talk about what's in the course for your bit? Because, yeah, I cannot wait for this to come out, because this is what loads of people want.
So, yeah, I mean, this was like a course that I was super excited to make, because I just think, you know, when we're talking about, and going back to what I was saying about self-empowerment and, you know, people wanting to take back control of their own health, this is like the best way that you can do it. Because if you can make your own remedies out of anything, and I'm talking about, you know, if you live on a mountainside near Arnica, then you can make that remedy yourself through Arnica. If you have a cough or a cold and you're trying to find a remedy, and, you know, in that state, you're just in no state to be able to do it, you can actually make remedies from your own discharges, because those discharges, all they are information. And when we talk about homeopathy and the concept of like cures like, the way that I kind of try and communicate that in a more accessible way is that a remedy is like a memory. So what it will do, it will just remind your body how to heal. If we work on that premise, when you are making remedies from your own discharges, that is an echo, not a memory. It's the exact thing coming back to you. So you are making, you know, you're using that information that your body has eliminated to make a remedy, which is going to be like an exact match. So actually, when you're talking about exact matches or what's a remedy for X, Y, Z, well, actually, you can just make it out of your own snot, for example.
And you talk through exactly how to do that in that bit of the course. So that is amazing. So
I talk through that. I teach you how to make your own remedies. And I go through an example teaching you how to make a remedy from your own placenta. Because the placenta and any of the matrodonal remedies, so these are remedies that are only available through pregnancy and that bonding with your child. So they include things like amniotic fluid and vernix and the placenta and breast milk. But can you imagine like the energetic imprint of those remedies? It is incredibly powerful. And so many people want to make pills out of their placenta, but I actually think that sometimes those pills can be a bit overpowering. And also with the recent research about the plastics in the placenta, I think it is going to be much more gentle to be able to make a remedy, a homeopathic remedy from the placenta. So yeah, and obviously, you know, I love all things birth. So I was really, really, really happy to make this course.
It is so exciting. And then actually the best bit as well, it gets even better. Like the course, our course, I think it's worth, I can't remember, it's about $95, but you get it for $50 as part of the bundle. You get course lifetime access, and then you're going to get access to all the 110 other ebooks and courses as well, which are worth about $6,000. And I get so many people message me, because I've done these bundles before, going, is it a scam? It sounds too good to be true. And honestly, genuinely, it is true. It's the power of collaboration, and because it's only available for those 10 days. So you get everyone coming in and agreeing, right, for 10 days, we're going to kind of pretty much give this away, but it's only available for those 10 days. And it is really all the holistic health community coming together to try and really get it out there.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, this is a typical example of that Phoenix moment where, you know, we are collaborating and people are working together to give other people something that is accessible both on a financial basis and both on a kind of basis of understanding and being able to kind of just go away and do it themselves.
Exactly. And it is a no-brainer, people, because that $50 is going to teach you how to make your own remedies, which think how much you'll save potentially in remedies. So I will put the link actually in the show notes. Use our link to get it, but it won't come out. It won't launch until the 15th of March. And then you only have that 10 days. So go get it when it comes out.
Yeah,
right. It's exciting and I can't wait. We're going to be doing some lives and things as well, so watch this space. Right, okay. I've had loads more questions about remedies for this or remedies for that, and I think we've covered that, but I would just like to make one final point on something that one particular person's asked, you know, is there a remedy for MS or autoimmune conditions? And I think I'd perhaps like to rephrase this of, can homeopathy help with these type of issues? Because quite often when you're diagnosed with an autoimmune condition or MS or something like that, I know when my daughter was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, I went on various, you know, support groups on Facebook and was told there's nothing you can do, it's for life, it's autoimmune. And I was like, oh, don't want to listen to that, you know, she can bloody well get better. So my personal view is, you know, you can't guarantee anything with anyone. It's always down to the individual's vital force. But I, you know, homeopathy has the potential to help with any issue because it's treating the person, not the condition. So, and even if you can't get complete relief, it's going to boost your vital force and help you, that it can help on so many levels that it can always do something. That's my view. But yes, yeah, Sapna, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I agree. And there are so many homeopaths out there working, you know, who specialise or who are most interested in autoimmune conditions, which are vast. They're such a vast kind of landscape. I mean, for me, for example, I've become really interested in Hashimoto's at the moment, which admittedly I was treating as a thyroid disorder. And this perfectly illustrates this point. So someone comes to you with Hashimoto's, you're immediately going to think about the thyroid because it's a thyroid. It's localized to the thyroid. But actually, because it's an autoimmune condition, you can treat the thyroid as much as you want, but it isn't going to shift it. What you need to do is understand the kind of root cause of it, which is that autoimmune issue, and treat that. And with, you know, certain strategies, because everyone has different strategies of treatment, certain strategies of treatment will bring those high antibodies down. And then along with that, your symptoms begin to get better. So when people ask for remedies for a particular condition or whether homeopathy can treat a particular condition, when it is chronic, what you have to understand is there is so much to discern about the condition of that individual that it is never going to be as easy as, oh yeah, just take some calc carb or, you know, whatever remedies are kind of commonly used for certain conditions. And I think that we can't drive that home enough. You know, we have to just keep repeating this message so people get to understand. But also, if you start to understand that foundation and philosophy, then you will be able to treat yourself for acute conditions much, much better as well. It's important to get the philosophy, and everyone, you know, gets really excited and they just want to go straight to the bit in the book where you're like, okay, what remedy is it? But, you know, read the philosophy, read the foundations, because then you will have that, you know, knowledge, and knowledge, wisdom, it's all power, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm really glad you said that actually. And just to, I want to say a couple of things on acute illnesses. So the first thing is acute illnesses are easier to treat because we kind of become that illness in that state. Like when you've got profuse diarrhea and vomiting, everything about you is sort of in that state of, you know, that's all you're kind of doing. And it's much easier to find a remedy that matches, because then you are kind of treating, but getting a remedy to home in the diarrhea and vomiting, because at that moment, that's kind of all you are. Same as if you're in a traumatic accident and you say, bang your head. you're going to become much more Arnica-like in your state. So, and sometimes the language we use doesn't help, because I can be guilty of this. Like on my Instagram, I'll be like top remedies for ear infections, you know, and list some of the top ones, but we're still looking to treat the individual. And that's also why when I wrote my book, like this one person once said, oh, well, you know, you didn't put, so basically, just to step back a minute, the way the book's written is I've got 77 core remedies, and I list like the nature of the remedies, like the mental state, the key symptoms, the generals, the modalities, all of that. And then in the index, I thought I will put an index of what particular health issues there are, but I'm not going to list out, I'll put the remedies, but I'm not going to list out like arsenicum burning discharges, say, or gelsenium, a flu with a shiver up and down the spine, or bronia with sort of dizziness and feels like a bear with a sore head, because I thought I want you to go and look those remedies up, because when you condense it to one line, you lose that essence of that remedy. Yeah. And if you can spend just a few minutes, every time someone gets an illness, I try and look up that remedy again in my Materia Medica, because you always find something different about that remedy. And that's totally. How Yeah, totally. Good. Thank you. Because I just think, yeah, we can't, if you can spend a bit of time investing in those, learning the picture of the remedies, like what you said, your example earlier of pulsatilla child, you spotted that because you knew the essence of pulsatilla. And that was really early on from what you said when you only had a couple of remedies. Yeah. And you'll be able to use homeopathy so much more effectively if you start to just get a general feel of what these remedies are like and
totally.
Look them
and
up.
I think that, you know, different remedies resonate differently with different people. And Lisa and I were talking, and I said we should talk about the remedy sugar, because I bet your the way that you kind of perceive sugar is very different to the way that I perceive sugar. So
yeah, should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it, because I think it's really interesting.
Okay, shall I talk about, because I've shared a little bit about that. Yeah. And my perspective on sugar comes from actually a lot of the, so my interest is more in autism, PANDAS and PANS. So I've read a lot about that remedy in the context of kids with autism. And I've also loved Tina Smith's book, Inspiring Homeopathy, where he talks about it as well as one of the universal layers. And for me, that remedy, the way I've read about it and just what I've seen, and we're all going to have our own perspective, but it can often be that kind of lack of love. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. One of my children is taking it right now, but like where the world we live in, society, where we're busy, 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 parents are out working, where we can often use as well sugar as a reward for something. So when kids do well, here, have a sweetie, you know, it's that love, like let's substitute affection with here's some reward, here's a sweet. It's also great to, like when I was looking it up, I was just seeing some traits in some clients and in practice about sibling jealousy as well, rivalry, lack of sleep. It's amazing for kids with autism. And then it obviously has that sugar craving as well. So that's kind of more how I've used it and seen it. And I think it's an amazing remedy. I gave it to one of my children years ago as a one-off, and instantly, oh my God, it was almost bizarre. Instantly, they had an upset stomach and needed to go purge and had loose stools. Now, that's a perfect healing response.
Yes.
Perfect healing response, because it's stuff coming out. And then they said, I want mummy's milk. Now, it's a really closely related remedy to Lactmaternum or Lacumanum, which is made out of breast milk as well. Yeah. There's quite similar pictures. So yeah, it's that's my perspective on it and just some personal experience on it. But yeah, I really want to hear yours, Sapna. What's your take?
So when I started researching this remedy, I always get really interested in the history. So when it's a plant, I want to know what the plant does in its natural form. But when it is a substance, I want to unwind the history of that substance. And a similar thing is the birth control pill. I want to unwind why, you know, are we here the way that we are? I'm not going to go into the birth control pill because I want to talk about sugar. So if you think about sugar, so the remedy is actually Saccharum album or Saccharum officinalis, which is that white powder or granules that you get. So, you know, what everyone uses in cakes, what they put in sweets, what they put in processed food. So it's everywhere. But if you look at the history, where did that come from when you work it back? It's coming from its foundations and roots are in slavery. So I'm not saying that sugar doesn't grow naturally. If you're talking about sugar cane, that's a different remedy. But this kind of white powder is very, very different. And it is based on removing people from their culture. It is based on that not having access to that love anymore, which we can see now, in the modern day representation of that picture. But if you think about that, and you think about the way that we react to sugar, we are almost slaves to sugar. And it's so interesting that that's the foundation of it, built on kind of slavery. And now it's not just slavery, it's not kind of what happened to people from the Black African continent. It is also part of indentured labor, which came from kind of Southeast Asia, and they were promised a better life, but ended up kind of being tied to this very little pay, very poor conditions. And now, if you look at modern day illnesses such as diabetes, which is kind of, has that roots in kind of sugar and the glucose and the insulin in your body, the people that are most susceptible to that are people from the Southeast Asian community and from, the black population of the world. And I found that incredibly interesting because when we think about that condition, diabetes, if we take it a step further, along the kind of line of diabetes and that inflammation at the kind of end of the line of it, we kind of, well, not the end, but down the line, we kind of come across cancer. And when we are talking about cancer from a homeopathic perspective, it is all about suppression of culture and suppression of self and not having any boundaries because they're not present or always going outside boundaries and always being submissive and living life for other people. And then we can go back to that root and say, well, actually, that is what happened to these people. And now in modern day, this is how it manifests. And I find it so incredibly fascinating that we become kind of so addicted and so dependent on sugar in that way, and then the physical manifestation of it, which precedes that.
Amazing. And that's what I love about remedies. They can have these hugely deep pictures. Oh, well, most remedies do. Okay, we get some smaller remedies, and you're going to see a different homeopath. They're going to have a slightly different take on remedies and what they might use them for and when they come up. But that's why who you choose as a homeopath is actually so important. And I'm getting to the point where I'm almost at the verge of not recommending homeopaths because I get asked all the time for recommendations. And I want to recommend because I know amazing homeopaths, but I'm also like, you know what? It's really important that you choose someone that you found because that energetic connection, just because I think someone's good doesn't mean they can be amazing, but they're not necessarily going to be the right person for you.
Totally that, I'm one of those kind of like, I'm very tubercular in nature, so I'm on homeopath number 8 or 9, where some people have had like the homeopath for years, but I constantly change. But I have finally found a homeopath that I really feel kind of gets me and resonates with me, and it is like a real connection. With everybody else, I was a bit like, you're not quite getting it. And very interestingly, I now respond to every single remedy that is prescribed for me, like so well. And I'll give you an example. I'm on like a random remedy that not many people have heard of. I'm on Mag Muir at the moment. Loads of people have heard of Mag Carb and Mag Fos, but I'm on Mag Muir. And part of my picture was I felt like this dull ache in my entire spine. Like it was just constantly there. It was just really horrible. And I was just fed up of it. So this is one of the things that I said to my homeopath, this is like a big thing for me. It means a lot because I can't function physically. The moment that remedy touched my lips, I felt my spine just go, ah,
Amazing.
amazing. And now I haven't had any spine pain for the last
Ah,
3 days.
that's amazing. And actually, I'm really glad you brought that up because one of the questions that was messaged in, but I actually forgot to write it down, was when is it time to move homeopaths? Because this person's obviously not seeing the results perhaps that they want. And for me, I do change homeopaths quite frequently as well. I'm tubercular, and I'll sometimes go back. And I think if you're a homeopath that's on a similar wavelength as me, you won't feel offended by that, because you know that sometimes you just need that extra pair of eyes or second perspective. So for me, it's always been, maybe something's changed in me. Like, I've had homeopaths that won't tell me what remedy they're giving me. And I can't do that anymore. I have to know, just because lots of reasons. But for me, I like to know. I like it to be more sort of in collaboration and in partnership and knowing what I'm taking, particularly as I'm so sensitive to remedies. I get a better idea of, okay, actually just that one dose is enough. I'm starting to like prove it or whatever. But I think, like, when, you know, if you're not getting results after quite, you know, at least, I would say give it, you always have to give it at least 3 to 4 appointments with a homeopath.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's often what happens at the follow-up, or where, if remedies don't work, it can tell you just as much as when they do. Maybe there's a drug layer or a miasm that needs clearing. But if you've given it a go, like for 6 to 12 months, you know, I also think it's time maybe that homeopath should be saying, actually, you know, we're not seeing results. Maybe it's time for a fresh pair of eyes. But, yeah. So that's my perspective.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think definitely it's really important to give it a shot. We kind of like expect quite a lot very fast.
Mm.
But I think not just with homeopathy, but in life in general, we need to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to slow down, and we need to understand if we've got a chronic ailment that has been built up in layers over time, it's not going to be like, right, first appointment, bam, you're out, you're well. It's just not going to. And I think you mentioned that, you know, clearing of layers. So if you've got a drug layer sitting at the top, you know, it's going to have an obstacle. It's going to cause an obstacle. And if you've got a miasmatic things going on from your ancestral lineage, that is going to need to be cleared as well. And as you go through and remedies kind of unlock things, other things will come up. You get the space. What remedies do is give you space to kind of, you know, just show who you are at every layer until you get to a place where this is me. This is actually who I'm meant to be. So yeah, definitely give it 3 to 4 months. And the other thing I'd say is, what's beautiful about homeopathy is actually it is a modality which actually gets you to trust your own intuition. Because when you are working with a homeopath, or when you are just treating yourself with acutes, what you are doing is you start to listen to your body, and you start to look for different signs. You start to kind of take note about how you feel, and you start to make those connections. And then, you know, as you go further, your intuition kind of wakes up, and you start to trust yourself more, because you're getting that feedback that, oh, you know, I had the burning diarrhea and the vomiting, and I felt chilly and restless, and I think I'm going to die. Oh, that's an arsenicum state. You begin to understand that you know what is wrong with you better than anybody else. So you really reconnect with yourself. And part of that journey of seeing a homeopath and working with a homeopath for chronic conditions is that connection. So even if you've worked with a homeopath for 6 months and you haven't really seen that many results, what you have kind of gained from that, and you're going to walk away with, is better intuition. And part of that intuition is, I don't resonate with this homeopath anymore, so I'm going to go and find someone that I do resonate with.
Beautifully put. I love that. So true. Do you know what? I want to ask, like, we're going to run out of time, actually, so I'm just going to, with maybe one or two more questions, but once, are you seeing patients now? Are you taking on clients?
Yeah, I've started taking on, after much disruption to life, I'm back to normal now.
Good. So if people want to book in, they can book in with you, because I know people are going to probably be interested in how do I work with you and after this. And the other thing to say as well, like, one of the questions I've had actually is, leading into that, how do you work with clients? Do you use a computer program to analyze? So I'm interested, Satna, to hear, I'll just answer it briefly myself, because I'm not seeing clients at the moment. I'm purely focusing on teaching. It's taking up like lots of time, and I homeschool my kids. I'm not working with clients, but what I have got coming up is a deeper course, or called The Next Level, on how homeopaths actually take cases. So I talk you through how to repertorize, which is our repertory, is our book of symptoms, really. The thing is, there are thousands and thousands of homeopathy remedies out there, but we don't know them all. We most hope, well, I'll speak for myself. I'm interested to see how Satna does it in a moment. But like how I would take a case is I would, and this would be whether it's an acute case or a chronic case, differs slightly in how much information you take. But ultimately, you interview the client, you extract their symptoms based on what they're telling you. And you know, if it's a chronic case, you'd look at the whole person. So what they're from what food they like to weather preferences. And then you would turn those symptoms into what we call rubrics, and we would look them up in a repertory. And then in that repertory, it tells us what remedies are most frequently indicated for those symptoms. So we'd look at which remedies match best the entire person. And then after we've got those top remedies that have come through, and some of those remedies, it might not be the top scoring ones, you know, it might be that actually quite a few of them could be a potential match. We'd then look them up in our books, our Materia Medicas, and we'd analyse then to see which remedy is the best match. Some people do that process on a computer programme, but a lot of what you'll be taught in homeopathy college should do it manually with the books. And that is essentially what I teach on my course, and it's to get you to do acute case taking properly, but also to demystify how homeopaths take chronic cases and choose constitutional remedies. And then I also talk about how when remedies don't work, what blocks there might be, like layers or drug layers and organ support, and that's needed. So it does go into more detail. So that's how I would always take a case. Like my starting point would be sort of just doing it classically by repertorizing. Some homeopaths use intuitively and will be more using their intuition, but that's sort of my approach. And Sapna, I'm interested in how you would take a case. Do you use a computer program?
I do because I haven't got time to do an Excel spreadsheet and go through every single symptom. So yeah, so I work in a really similar way, but I use a computer program, which is basically like a database. It's exactly the same thing, but it's like 100 times quicker. So you find the symptoms that you're looking for. And it's exactly the same symptoms that are in, you know, our repertory books. You just find that specific symptom. It's much quicker to find it because you've got search function.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go through the top remedies, read them. Now, on the computer program, there is a Materia Medica, but I find it a bit vague. I don't like that. And when I first started out, I used to use Robin Murphy's Materia Medica. But now what I'm finding is I actually have gone back in time to the old homeopaths. So the likes of, you know, Fubister, Julianne, Burnett, you know, old homeopaths who are kind of long gone from the earth. And the reason I do this is actually quite interesting. And this is to do with the history of homeopathy, because homeopathy was, you know, it was mainstream. Everybody used homeopathy a long time ago. And then kind of the turn of the 19th century, we had this kind of suppressing of homeopathy, kind of, you know, feeding all the money into the modern medical system. And then homeopathy kind of disappeared. It was still there, bubbling, simmering a little bit. But I think during that period, what happened is we lost a lot of knowledge. And certainly in the States, the way that a lot of American homeopaths used to learn about homeopathy was just based on one homeopath's work, which was Kent, who was very, very popular. And all the other stuff was kind of lost to history. But it's so valuable. So now what I find myself doing is just looking back at that, especially when we come to organ support, because organ support is just like this fascinating, like, part of homeopathy, that there are still some homeopaths that don't really use it. But I just think it's just fascinating and amazing and so well needed today, just based on the general vitality of all people. So, yeah, that's what I do. And the other thing is, like you said, I use intuition as well. Sometimes I just know, you know, and I experimented with this because I am a logical kind of person. I need to know why, and I need to be convinced of stuff, not by other people, by myself. So I thought, right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try this intuition thing. And for a long while, every time I thought, oh, that person needs Natmure, that person needs Staphysagria, I kind of second-guessed myself, then went through the whole process of repertorizing, came up with a different remedy, gave them that remedy, and that remedy did bugger all. And I'm sitting there thinking, what? it all fits together. What is going on? What is, and you know what? What I was saying about connecting with your intuition as a patient or a client, homeopaths do it as well as part of their journey as a homeopath.
Yeah.
So I, and then I thought, right, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to give the one I thought I should give halfway through the consultation. And lo and behold, in 90% of cases, that is the remedy that has the kind of, you know, most significant action. So I think it's a mixture of both. But you've got to trust yourself as well. You know, you've got to get to that stage. And whether you're a homeopath or not, most people don't trust themselves.
Well, we've been taught to outsource everything in this modern world, everything.
So it's a journey to get back to that for all of us.
And that's why the off-grid bundle that's coming out is so important. Plug for that. But it really is, because it teaches you to do so many things, not just for off-grid living, but to basically reclaim your own sovereignty.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
And for, you know, from a practical point of view, if you say you're like me and you've got three kids and you've got one kid down and the other two kids are like, oh, I want this, and you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, I've got to now repertorize and try and find this remedy for this kid. It's so much quicker to just get a bit of their snot, or just get a bit of the thing that's coming out of their eye, or if it's like a teenage daughter, to take a tiny little speck of their menstrual blood, make a remedy, and it's quick. It's not like an hours and hours process. And give that back to them. Then you're kind of done. Then you can deal with the other two kids who are, you know, pulling at your socks or whatever they do. But yeah.
Yes.
I think everyone should do it. I honestly do. And, you know, I've started doing this a lot more at home when my kid's sick, just to save time. And it just works so well. And it works quickly and it's very quick. You just get it done. And it's really empowering.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that for you doing this with me, this course. I really am. I cannot wait. I'm super excited for Friday when it comes out. So
yes, me too.
Right. Okay. I'm about to go over. So I'm going to wrap up. There were loads of questions. Sorry if we didn't get to answer them, but you know, maybe we'll do another one, or, you know, we'll always do a Q&A at some point, probably on our stories, or maybe even some of the lives we're going to have coming up. But Sapna, is anything parting words that you'd like to say to people before we say goodbye?
I just buy the bundle, get the bundle. It'll be really good. It'll be really good for you. And, you know, and it's not one of those things where you buy it and you think, oh, you won't regret it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. And it really is. I totally agree. I've got all the other previous bundles and they're amazing, you know, they really, really are. And for people thinking it's a scam, I promise you it's not. The amount of messages I get going, it's a scam, it's like, no, it's not. But it is only available for 10 days, and they are really strict. It will cut off after 10 days, but it's in, you can't buy it, but you'll still be able to access it. You get course lifetime access, you get 12 months to download all the ebooks, which you can keep forever. And yeah, you just have to register for the courses within 12 months. But yes, exciting. So thank you, Sapna, so much for coming on. How can people connect with you?
Mostly through Instagram. Love a bit of Instagram. So I'm the Wild Homeopath. I'm also thewildhomeopath.com. I'm kind of around on Facebook. So if you're a Facebooker, then yeah. But you can always just kind of book in for a call and chat to me.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much, Sapna. And yeah, go buy the bundle, everyone. See you later.
Bye.